Now we need to pray. Can we bow our heads before the dear Lord for a moment? Can we just in reverential worship and fear before our God just be quiet in our heart? Our lovely Father, keeper of our souls, author and finisher of our faith, we bless Thee that we are the children born again as children of God. We bless Thee, our Father is God, the Heavenly Father. And unless that happened, then we have the devil and our earthly fathers, but we have to have two fathers. It's either Satan or it's God. We're either children of the devil, who serve the devil, even in religion, or we're children of God if we're born again. We must be born again. No man is born a child of God. We're born children of our fathers and mothers with a sinful nature, condemned to eternal damnation from the moment of reckoning. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He cannot. There's no hope of God ever allowing him. Thank Thee that there's that which is born of the flesh and that which is born of the Spirit. We're all born of the flesh. But to be born of the Holy Spirit, born of God, that we praise Thee for. Through grace, by our faith and free will, in what God asks of us to embrace of what He's done. So come to us who know Thee. Minister to our hearts through Thy holy word and to the unsaved who are damned for eternity who sit here tonight unless they are born again by grace through faith in earnest repentance, no matter what the cost. And a mighty encounter by faith with Jesus Christ, that they never recover, and every soul that knows them on earth will see the drastic change from the day, from the moment they rise from their knees. To all of us, come minister by Thy holy word. In Jesus the Christ's holy name and for His glory, Amen. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. That was not the first occasion in the Bible that God departed from the temple. The first time it caused such grief that all the godly wept. When written by God's hand is Ichabod. I've had enough. Over the house, He allowed men to meet with Him in the Holy of Holies. That was not the first time. This time they didn't know it was God. God with us. God manifest in the flesh. God was in Christ. This book teaches us. They didn't know it was God. And this time, it was a billion times more devastating in the light of eternity of what was happening. Jesus went out with a great grief. Don't doubt that, what had happened there. And departed from the temple. And His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings His disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Someone has to ask that baby to go downstairs. Just standing out the front door doesn't have the door. Please. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. Saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? And of the end of the world? And Jesus answered. And said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. and many false prophets shall rise. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. Now in this unique passage of eschatology, that is the order of events leading up to Christ's return for his church. In this unique passage of eschatology, Jesus reveals to us that in the last days, there will be a staggering escalation. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of wars across the world. Nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of wars across the world. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of natural disasters and widespread devastating diseases. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, literally in place after place after place after place. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of natural disasters and widespread devastating diseases. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of hatred against Christians. Hatred against Christians worldwide. Ye shall be hated of all nations, of all nations, for my name's sake. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of hatred against Christians worldwide. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation. A staggering escalation of erroneous preaching In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of erroneous, heretical preachers. Many false prophets shall rise. Many false prophets shall rise. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of erroneous, heretical, yet dynamic preachers who will thrive in popularity under the banner of Christianity. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now that Greek word is staggering. The most. The masses. Literally, the masses who outwardly embrace Christianity in the last days under the banner of Christianity. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of erroneous, heretical preachers. Erroneous, heretical, yet dynamic preachers who will thrive in popularity under the banner of Christianity worldwide. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of moral decadence. A staggering escalation of moral decadence worldwide. Iniquity shall abound. Now that Greek word can only be used outside of what Christ was using it. If you speak of an avalanche, gains momentum so swiftly, devastating everything, wiping away every single thing in its way. Nothing could stop it. Every restriction, every line or limit thrown aside to such a degree, we'll be staggered. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of moral decadence worldwide, resulting in a massive falling away. A massive, massive falling away. Because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. Now that word many, the most, Christ said. Through the last days, what's going to happen through depravity and filth and every restriction wiped away in the name of freedom of speech and art. The love of the most who outwardly profess Christianity worldwide under the banner of Christianity. In the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of moral decadence worldwide, resulting in a massive falling away. A massive falling away and departure from the truth of this holy book. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of the masses, the most, wax cold, who outwardly embrace Christianity. And yet, in spite of all this, in the last days, there will be a staggering escalation of world mission enterprise attempted by the faithful. There will be a staggering escalation of world mission enterprise attempted by the faithful. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. But tonight, I want to single out only one of these staggering statements that Jesus made in this passage, which we find in verse 13. Verse 11. Many false prophets shall rise. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, shall deceive the masses in the last days who outwardly gather under the banner of Christianity. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive the masses. The masses who embrace outwardly Christianity. Now the tragic result of such widespread erroneous preaching in the last days, the tragic result of such widespread erroneous preaching in the last days, I believe is revealed to us in the next chapter. That is chapter 25. Where Jesus says in verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you. Now, the five foolish virgins believed that they were true Christians. And that what they had heard and embraced from preachers and churches was the truth. But they were tragically deceived. They were tragically deceived in what they'd heard from these many false prophets that Christ warned would rise and thrive in the last days and would deceive the masses. They were tragically deceived in what they'd heard from these many false prophets that Christ warned would rise and thrive in the last days and would deceive the most, the masses who gather under the banner of Christianity worldwide in the last days. But wait, wait. Let's also carefully consider the five wise virgins. For there's something also tragic revealed here about them in the last days. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. I believe this tells us of the spiritual state of the true church, generally worldwide in these fearful last days. I believe this tells us of the spiritual state of the true church, generally worldwide in these fearful last days, which, in the light of the rest of the scriptures, will be the result of the dearth and scarcity of uncompromising truth being preached generally in the evangelical pulpits worldwide in the last days, which in the light of the rest of the scriptures will be the result of the dearth and the scarcity of uncompromising truth being preached generally worldwide in the evangelical pulpits in these fearful last days. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, when I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the words of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Amos 8, verse 11 to 13. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. That day is now, beloved. Christians worldwide faint for thirst in their search for uncompromising truth being preached and safe spiritual fellowship. Christians worldwide faint for thirst in their search for uncompromising truth being preached and safe spiritual fellowship. But wait now. There is also a third group of people spoken of in this parable that are overlooked by most of us. There's also a third group of people spoken of here in this parable that are overlooked by most of us. Those who must herald the coming of the Lord with great urgency, whose cry must wake up a slumbering, sleeping, compromising church worldwide. Those those who must herald the coming of the Lord with great urgency, whose cry must wake up a slumbering, sleeping, compromising church worldwide. And it is to this group that I specifically would preach tonight. It is to this group I urgently would cry the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 4 verse 1. I charge thee, therefore by God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. I charge thee, therefore by God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead that is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word! Preach the word! Be instant. In season, out of season. Be instant. Ready, be ready. In season, out of season. Be ready always. Always. Reprove. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. This is what is happening right now worldwide, beloved. This is happening right now worldwide, beloved. Jesus warned us that in the last days, many false prophets shall rise. In the context, in the immediate context, he's speaking within the church. That which is his religion. That which is in the name of Christianity. He's not speaking about other religions yet. No. It would deceive people of the truth of Christ. This is happening right now, beloved. They're turning away their ears now. What God said then is happening now. In the last days. What he said would happen in the last days. And they shall be turned unto fables. Oh, heaping to themselves teachers everywhere. We only want them, you know. No one that gives us that book. No! That's not the Christianity we want. Or the preachers we want. Oh, Christ warned us in the last days. Many false prophets arise and shall deceive the masses, Christ said in the last days. I charge thee, therefore, by God, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word, be instant, be ready, prepare yourself. Here I believe is an urgent cry from God's heart to those whom he would separate to preach in these devastating last days. Here I believe is an urgent cry from God's heart to those whom he would separate to preach in these fearful last days, to prepare themselves to preach uncompromising truth
fearlessly, no matter what the cost. I charge thee, therefore, by God, preach the word. Be instant, be ready, in season, out of season. I believe we should stop here for a moment. I believe we should stop here for a moment to carefully consider what God is saying. To carefully consider what God is saying in the light of the rest of the scriptures. In the light of the rest of the scriptures, when he calls upon those whom he separates to preach to be ready. In the light of the rest of the scriptures, what God is saying when he calls upon those whom he has separated to preach, separated to preach to be ready. I charge thee therefore by God, preach the word, be instant, be ready, in season, out of season, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3 verse 15. Be ready always to give an answer. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Proverbs 15 verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Proverbs 15 verse 28. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. I charge thee therefore by God, preach the word. Be instant. Be ready. Be prepared. In the Old Testament, a man called Ezra was ready for God to take up and use mightily in his generation. In the Old Testament, a man called Ezra was ready for God to take up and use mightily in his generation. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra 7 verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Literally, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study of the law of the Lord, to enable him to preach God's word with authority in Israel. He separated himself to study, to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When Daniel separated himself to seek God earnestly, to give him revelation and understanding concerning the scriptures, A heavenly messenger appeared unto him and said, "Fear not, Daniel. Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words." Daniel 10 verse 12. "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture, that which is vital. I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth." Verse 21.
I am now come forth.
I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Daniel 9, verse 22. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay, nor resist, nor refute. I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay, nor resist. Luke 21, verse 15.
When the religious leaders of Israel contested and disputed with Stephen concerning the scriptures, we read that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Acts 6, verse 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. But, O preacher, for God to so equip you, for God to so equip you, you must separate yourself. You must separate yourself as Ezra, as Daniel, as young Timothy, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul urged young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, for in doing this, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you. Don't neglect the diligent study of the scriptures. Don't neglect the diligent study of the scriptures for your own spiritual protection and for the spiritual protection of those who will be influenced by your preaching, Timothy. Don't neglect the diligent study of the scriptures, the doctrines of this book. Give yourself wholly to this. We're in doing this, Timothy, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you. In the life of every preacher, there must be a separation for preparation. In the life of every preacher, there must be a separation for preparation. As Christ himself who cried, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Luke 2, verse 49. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. John 4, 34. My meat is not what you think I need. Food. My food. I'm strengthened not with what you want me to stop now to do. I'm strengthened with food that's different. I'm strengthened as I am consumed and pursue to fulfill the will and purpose and plan of God for my life and ministry. And anyone that is not written across their life is a grief to God if he stands in the pulpit. And a danger to man. Even if he was Timothy, who Paul said, "I have no man like him." You don't bypass the rules, sir. I am strengthened as I pursue and become consumed in fulfilling the purpose and plan of God for my life and ministry. If you are truly called by God to preach, you don't love to preach. That's sacrilege. That's blasphemy. If you are truly separated and called by God and meant by God to do one thing, to preach, you don't love to preach. You live to preach. Or you're not called by God, sir. That's your own calling, or your mother and father's. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Jesus said, at midnight there was a cry made. An urgent, fearful cry suddenly came from men God separated in the last days and will separate. Don't doubt that. I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. At midnight, and to those of you that don't know, that's just about what's happening. I pity the man that doesn't know just where we're at in the light of the scriptures of what's totally fulfilled before Christ said, "Then shall the end come." At midnight there was a cry made, Jesus said, an urgent, fearful cry from preachers who had separated themselves in obedience to God's call in the last days to study, to show themselves approved unto God. Men who will be valiant for the truth once again. Men who will be willing to hazard their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ once again. At midnight there was a cry made from such men who will be raised up by God and prepared by God to preach uncompromising truth fearlessly, no matter what the cost, and it will cost some of them with their lives. Don't doubt that in these days. Beloved, the saved must be awakened urgently to trim their lamps, to rekindle the faltering flame of compromising Christianity worldwide, to ready themselves, and only an urgent cry from such anointed preaching that have prepared themselves from this book and this book alone, for there's no authority outside of that book. That's why we have no authority left with our ideas.
of entertainment. To entertain is sin. If it makes you bury the preaching of the word to keep people, or even slightly differ from the centrality of the word of God being preached by an anointed man, you sin with your entertainment, if that's all you can keep the youth with. I might be the only preacher on earth that'll tell you, but somebody has to say it, no matter what you do to me.
There must be a cry made, such as God said, that will waken up the slumbering, compromising, staggering, worldly church. It looks like the world, that entertains like the world, that's like the world to win the world. No wonder all that happened is the world's won them. And the world's safe and comfortable in the church and going to hell, walking and leaping and praising God. But don't offend them. Don't touch this book. What it really says. If their blood will be on your hands, not that type of preaching. Tragically, the masses who have been deceived by erroneous doctrines across the entire world may be staggered. The masses may be staggered, even bewildered, and become angry in their bewilderment as they hear, and they will hear, the cry made. The urgent cry again from those who will preach uncompromising truth fearlessly, no matter what the cost. Oh, tragically, the masses, it seems, who have been deceived by erroneous doctrines, it seems, will not be able to turn from their mindset of addiction to entertainment. Addiction. They're drunk. And have to. Otherwise, they couldn't sit through one sermon. Sir, or come back if they ever heard truth. Tragically, the masses who've been so brainwashed into a groove, a mindset, it seems that they will be unable to get out of this delirious addiction to extreme diversions from the truths of this book, so we don't lose them by offending them. So we lose their souls and they won't be able to accept truth. When it eventually is heard, they are so addicted to emotionalism, to entertainers, beginning with the preacher. He has to be charismatic. He has to dress like Hollywood to draw them. And be as good as anyone that gets the Academy Award, or he won't have a big church as an actor. Nothing less. So long as he doesn't tell us about hell or repentance. So long as he doesn't say turn or burn. Then he'll burn. Oh, tragically, they will be so addicted to drunken emotionalism and outward manifestations. Sensual entertainers in the pulpit. God condemns if that's all you will be drawn to. Though he doesn't preach any truth, so long as it's emotional, sensational, and entertainment as good as we get out there in the world's theatres or discos. Go on Sundays. Tragically, they will be unable to gear themselves into a life of faith. They will be unable to even function on the concept of faith only. Not charismatic personalities, not outward manifestations, not them having some sensual outward manifestations that make them glory and get noticed. When all God says in this book is you should be noticed. When you glory Christ only through the transformation of your life, that is the first thing and the only thing God wants to use you with. Not to be like the world, to keep the world in the church. Oh, they will be unable, tragically it seems, the masses, to get out in time, to get out of this rut, this
drunk in addiction to charismatic preachers and charismatic outward manifestation, sensual emotion entertainers from beginning to end, pulpit to singers. We don't want a singer that's sanctified that sings the old hymns of the faith. We want someone that looks like the world, sways like the world, speaks like the world. Otherwise, we don't want to come because we are the world. In the church, be careful who's forcing you to keep the world in the church and bring godliness to your youth. Godliness, even in the scene, in what they do. Be careful. It's not the world in the church. Oh, may God give us such men again who will preach such truth in this day and age that it will wake up the true saved people who are compromising worldwide. Wake them up with unadulterated, uncompromising, compassionate truth and greatly anointed. And to the degree that your life is consumed in prayer and in this book, you will be anointed. Outside of that, there's no anointing. And for this, I call upon all preachers in this building and who will ever hear this message. And I hope you spread it across the world, Christians. As for some reason you've done with other messages I brought when it was just scriptures. I call upon all preachers who come under the sound and effect of this holy book's teachings of what will happen to preachers in the last days. And what God cries out for them to become again, if they're saved, no matter what the cost. I call upon you to separate yourselves, like Paul called on Timothy, for your own spiritual protection and those who will be spiritually protected to the degree you are soaked in this book and preach it with no compromise, fearlessly. To dedicate yourselves afresh, and in case you never really did because of the theatrical, theological seminar you went to that taught you to be entertainers and not preachers. And dedicate yourself once and for all, if you're truly saved, to get away from the trash they taught you to be of entertainers in the pulpit. For God's sake, be careful where you go. To be prepared, most places will destroy you in the evangelical theological seminars of the world. They're so far from this book. They teach you to joke, to break down the atmosphere, not to offend. How do you preach from this book when you just give out your wonderful jokes you've got from little comic books that are suggested by your professors of theology of how to win the world? You win the world, yes. What, to entertain that come you? You can't preach on hell after you got them roaring with laughter, sir. It doesn't work. By the by, not one preacher, beginning with Christ, Paul, Peter, Timothy, James, not one joked once. How come we have to in this generation? Oh, most places will destroy you who are evangelical seminars or institutes or Bible schools. You don't go anymore to be interviewed when you go to get a foundation. You go to interview and ask them first if they're born again. If they are, if they believe every single book in this Bible from beginning to end, will undermine it. You need to interview them so that you don't get destroyed. Nobody must interview you anymore in this terrible age. Be careful where you go. The devil's waiting to destroy you in most theological seminars who have been so adapted to entertainment. Teachers having itching ears. Who will turn away their ears from the truth, because only those who will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables will want them anymore in their denominations. Oh, beloved, how many sitting here tonight, like Isaiah, suddenly become conscious that God is looking for someone. Conscious of a voice from heaven saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us to this ministry, to this type of preaching. At this cost, in these dangerous days, to preach such things costs. Who? Not who will go to seminary anymore, or preach anymore, but who will be like this? That third group. Preach like that, that will wake up the sleeping church worldwide. With words that will cut through the hearts of every hypocrite that sits near them, under their ministry, till they writhe in conviction. Anything less is not the preacher God's calling now. Sir, not in this passage. How many, like Isaiah, suddenly have become conscious, perhaps for the first time in your life, that God is reaching out through a message to His Word, impressing upon your heart that you should separate your life to study this book. There's no such a thing as you not separating yourself before God uses you to be consumed in this book and prayer. And when you're ready, God will tell man. Man won't tell you. Trust me. God will tell man. And man cannot close doors when God opens them. When a man is ready, Israel, when a man is ready, when a man does this with his life, the powers of hell will be staggered every time. How many sit here tonight and like Isaiah, who suddenly knew it was God he had to do with, somehow where no human voice could reach, it's not emotional upbuilding, it was the Word of God by the Holy Ghost. Emotion has nothing to do with the Scriptures. Of course there's emotion, but there's the Holy Ghost that reaches the heart through the Word of God, where no human voice can reach. And if you know it's God's voice somehow reaching where you've never heard His voice, He's seeking someone, some life. He's seeking lives that are willing to so prepare themselves as this, what He needs in the last days while the bridegroom is tarrying. Someone has to preach in such a way that will wake up the church because of the separation to prepare themselves. You may have to go to seminar after you are sure by every godly person you know on earth surrounding you, convincing you, the godliest of the godliest, that you'll be safe there and not destroyed. You may have to go to certain places. They will never send you to a place that will destroy you. Not godly people. Many churches have to be the ones who prepare their own preachers in this devastating time of compromise in the theological seminars. And many are able to. But many, many pulpits will require you to study, to separate yourself. And if they're safe, that book will be the centrality. Not books about the book, but that book. I was sitting in a meeting 40 years ago, more than that now, 3 months saved, never ever in my life thought of preaching, wouldn't be so presumptuous to think such a disaster. Could ever be separated by God unto the gospel, to preach the gospel. As I sat in that service, I trembled, I sweated, I shook in fear as I realized it's not the preacher's voice reaching somewhere where no human voice can reach. I knew I had to do with God as they preached this great call of God to lay your life on the altar of God. He's calling for you today.
I suddenly became aware, and this preacher said, if God has called you, if God is speaking to your heart, young man, young woman, for missionaries, because 80% of the full-time workers in the evangelical work of God across the world are women who are willing to die full of diseases where no men will go. So God sends 80% of the full-time workers in evangelical work worldwide who are winning souls are women. They don't get the pulpits, but they get the souls. There is called as what men are, trust me, to spread this book in truth. As I heard that preacher, there was an appeal made to those of you that somehow know you have to do with God tonight, not with the preacher. And you would say to God, here am I. You who've suddenly heard like Isaiah, his longing, his voice, that he's looking for someone. God is asking, and his voice is reaching you. Would you say, here am I, God, take my life. Let it be consecrated to thee. Now, this moment, if this is thy will, God, take my life. I stood shaking in fear at a sense of unworthiness, helplessness. How could I preach? But I knew God was speaking to me. Something of my inner being just knew I had to do with God's confrontation here. To burn every dream I had had, every ambition, every plan I'd ever made. Forever, never to look back once. To preach, to fulfill his purpose. I stood. Don't stoop to be a king if God calls you to preach. William Carey said, I stood in the front row, not realizing there were others. I thought I was the only one that stood that night. I just knew it was God and me in that building. And I never doubted for over 40 years it was God. Not once did I look back at all my plans and want them all. Wish I could change. No, I knew till this moment it was God who called me that night, who separated me, who waited for me to say, here am I. You see, the free will of man doesn't just end at salvation. The blueprint of God has been spoiled, sir. And if you don't believe that's possible, let me give you about 100 verses of this book right now if you want to challenge me. By you, if you're saved even, you still have the free will to serve God's perfect blueprint for your life and not tomorrow ruin it by your own will and get God's second best. No, I stood. Five of us stood that night. All five went into God's service. One is dead. The rest are still in God's service after 40 years. A few 100,000 people came to Christ through those five preachers in this world. A few hundred, many will say far more, brother. Far more than you will ever imagine. With all the medias going on across the whole world, of every message that's preached, it's about. I want to ask you, young people. God does not make you hurry. The devil does. When it comes to guidance, God always speaks, and if you're willing, he confirms it. And he confirms it, and he confirms it, and he confirms it in his own way, through the book, through messages, through anything, just conversation, till you know that it's God. If you have any doubt, don't go. When God calls you, there's no doubt. But when God starts and you lay your life and say, here am I, send me, you're available. If this is thy will, God, confirm it. Confirm it till I know that if I don't go, I defy thee. Defy thee till I die. Confirm it so that I know. And God will tell you where to go. You won't have doubts if you stay right with God.
You always are safe if you never miss the quiet time. The devil can't lead you or guide you wrong. Guidance is safe if your quiet time is the central, major, most protected, guarded, nurtured moment of each day that the devil and man cannot touch you on. You're safe, and God will guide you if he calls you and confirms he will guide you. So long as your quiet time, that gets you into touch with God day by day and renews you day by day to walk with God. Otherwise, you didn't have a quiet time, as Enoch walked with God. But you're safe if your quiet time is nurtured and guarded like that. Read Psalm 1 and don't doubt it. But the big thing tonight is, will you be like Isaiah if you know you have to do with God and say, Lord, if this is thee, here am I from my heart, and I believe it's thee. Whether to be another Amy Carmichael, Jesse Penn Lewis, who stagger the world when they said yes to God with their lives. Or whether it's to be another George Whitfield or Jonathan Edwards or Charles Finney that will bring this nation, and it's a religious nation with many who profess to be born again, across this land in an unusual way because of the revival. I want to ask those who, knowing what God wants, and would say, I hear thy voice. I know I'm not emotionally stirred up by a man. It has to do with the Word and the Holy Spirit. But God, if this is thee, and I believe it is, here am I. Send me. I'll wait for confirmation before I go. But here am I, God, after this message, these scriptures, and what's going on in my heart and conscience right now. I want those who desperately need to say that to God right now, to stand.